Welcome to everyone this evening and Merry Christmas. My name's Jude. I'm the Apprentice Pastor, and I am thrilled to be able to talk with you for a few moments tonight about the birth of Jesus. Now, I have a question for you concerning the birth of Jesus, but before I ask you that question, I'm going to give you an answer. And the answer is no, Pastor Mike and I did not coordinate our dress this evening. We just both happen to be wearing this wonderful color, which I like to call oxblood. However, I didn't expect you would be here to talk about my dress or Pastor Mike's dress, but rather this evening talk about the birth of Jesus. And I have a question for you. We have been reiterating the idea that the birth of Jesus is a gift. And so my question for you this evening is, what kind of gift was the birth of Jesus? What kind of gift was it? First of all, let me say that this gift, the birth of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, was good news. It was a good gift. And it was a good gift because it was God's response to some bad news. Now, you probably have all been in that experience where someone has asked you, I have two things to tell you. One of them's good news and one of them's bad news. And you should always take the bad news first. If you're one of those people who takes the good news first and it's going to finish off with bad, there's something wrong with you and we need to talk. Always take the bad news so that it can be countered with the good news. So I'm going to start with the bad news. And the birth of Jesus was a gift that was a good gift that was a response to bad news. And the bad news was the plight of humanity. God created the universe. He created the world, and he created all of the creatures who live on this planet, including mankind. And he created mankind with the intention that he would live in a relationship with men, a loving relationship, a relationship in which we shared our lives with the most wonderful, most glorious, most beautiful, most loving being in the universe. That was God's intention. But something went wrong. The thing that went wrong, the thing that was the bad news, is what we call sin. And sin is the bad things that we do, the things that we do that are counter to the way God would have us live. And these bad things had a serious consequence for us, for all of mankind. You see, first of all, one of the consequences was that it was displeasing. It was very displeasing to God, the one glorious being who wished to live in relationship with us, to shower us in his love forever. It caused him great displeasure. He's a holy God and could not tolerate sin. Sin also stained humanity, and we see the evidence of this every day. Read the newspaper, look online. As a matter of fact, I think 2014, in a lot of ways, has been a year in which the atrocities of sin and how it stains humankind has been evident in stories across the globe. It also severed our relationship with God. You see, God intended that we live in relationship with him, and sin severed that relationship. And finally, sin came with a penalty of death. And so this is very bad news. And yet the birth of Jesus was good news because it was heaven's response. It was the beginning of heaven's response to this bad news. And it would be good news. In Matthew 1:21, we talked about this past Sunday, that Christ came to save his people from sin, from the bad news that would come. And so the gift of Jesus is good news because it addresses the bad news, but it's not just good news. In fact, the gift of Jesus is great news. It's great news because of how it remedied the bad news. First of all, we talked about the displeasure of God, or as some people said, the wrath of God, the anger of God at our sin. The gift of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, led to his life, a life that was lived perfectly. And his perfectly lived life led to his death on a cross for us. And his death on the cross was followed by his resurrection. And so the gift of Jesus was a great remedy for the bad news. And it remedied it by taking that anger from God. The Bible says that all of God's anger was poured out on Christ. As a result of his life, death, and resurrection, we have forgiveness of sins. We have an opportunity to be released and cleansed from the stain of sin. It is also within his life and death and resurrection said that because of that, God can look at us even as we continue to sin and declare us in right standing, declare us righteous because of what Christ did. And finally, it was a remedy for death because we see in the resurrection of Jesus a sign of what's available to people, and that is eternal life. And so the gift of Jesus is good because it addresses the bad news, and it's great because of how it remedies the bad news of sin. But it's not just good, and it's not just great. In fact, the gift of Jesus is the best news possible. And it's the best news possible because his life and his death and his resurrection, which all began at his birth, it can reconcile us to God. It can bring us back to God. Consider those good things I just mentioned. We talked about God's wrath being poured on Christ and him no longer being angry. And yet, if that's all we have, this state of neutrality with God, I think that's far short of how glorious it could be. Or we could be in a situation where our sins are forgiven. And so we have forgiveness, but if we don't have the friendship of God, I think that's far short of what this gift is. And we can be in right standing with God and yet not be in a relationship. If you consider the idea of a God who is a judge can declare us righteous, that's one thing. But a judge who will then step away from the bench and approach us and embrace us as Father, that's quite a different thing, a more glorious thing. And finally, life everlasting is indeed a wonderful thing, but life everlasting without God is not something that I think any of us would want. And yet, Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the gift of Jesus was a great thing. It was great news. It was good news, and it was the best news because in that we can be reconciled to God. And if you'll excuse this coming from a part-time English teacher, the gift of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, was the goodest and greatest and bestest news that we could possibly get. And so that's the kind of gift the birth of Jesus was. It was good and it was great and it was the best. And yet, there's one more thing which explains what kind of gift it is. It's a gift that requires a response. It's a gift that requires us to accept the gift. The Bible talks about how we accept this gift of Jesus Christ, how we accept his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And the Bible describes that as faith. We believe in him as the Son of God. We believe in his birth. We believe in the perfect life he lived. We put our faith in his death on the cross on our behalf. And we believe that he rose from the dead. That's the sort of gift it was. It was a good and great, in fact, the best gift, but it's a gift that must be received. It's a gift that must be accepted by all of us. Now, if you're part of the church family who attends here regularly, I encourage you tonight and tomorrow, reflect on the glorious gift of Jesus' birth. The glorious gift of his birth that led to his life, that led to the Easter season where we celebrate his death on a cross and the life that was ended but then came back from the dead. Spend time this Christmas and reflect on that great, great gift. And if you're a visitor or perhaps new to the church, I'd encourage you, consider this Christmas. Spend some time tonight and tomorrow and consider the gift of Jesus Christ and consider accepting him.
My name is Mike. I'm also a member of the pastoral staff, the only other member who has a piece of ox blood colored clothing. So I have the opportunity to speak to you for a few moments as well. Actually, I'm the senior pastor here at West London. That means the member of the pastoral staff who's going to become a senior citizen first. So listen up. Gold and frankincense and myrrh were the gifts given to the Christ child by the wise men. The first gifts given in history to celebrate, to mark the birth of Christ. But as we all well know, by no means the only gifts given. As gift giving and gift opening is about to occur in a multitude of places from this crowd itself, perhaps this evening or certainly tomorrow. Gifts given by the wise men, or the gifts of the Magi. That's not only an incident in history, but it's also the title of a brilliant short story written by an American author under the pen name O. Henry. No relation to the chocolate bar. In fact, I think the chocolate bar was named after him. And the Gift of the Magi, a story which doesn't actually have anything to do with the Magi except symbolically or metaphorically, the Gift of the Magi would be my favorite short story in all of literature, except for another short story that I like even more. It's also about Christmas, and it's called The Gifts of the Christ Child. And it was written by George MacDonald, a Scottish Presbyterian minister from the 1800s, who was a personal hero of C.S. Lewis, who is a personal hero of mine. The Gifts of the Christ Child is not a story about the Christ Child himself. It's also a metaphor or figure of speech. The Gifts of the Christ Child refers to the tradition still active in Northern Europe, a tradition started by Martin Luther, or at least promoted by Martin Luther, while he was busy reforming the church in the 1500s. Martin Luther was a little concerned that St. Nicholas was getting more and more attention around the events of the birth of Christ. And we see where that was going and where it has gotten us to all these centuries later. So he brought forward the tradition of the Christ child, who was born every year at this time, and showed up in the households of the faithful to distribute gifts to those who were part of that family. Gifts of the Christ child. There's nothing in the historical accounts, there's nothing in the Gospels, Matthew or Luke or any other reference in the New Testament to the Christ child, but the New Testament does talk about the man Christ Jesus. And what I'd like to show you this evening, as Jude has talked to you about Christ himself as God's gift to us, is that gift, the man Christ Jesus, stands prepared to give gifts as well. Some of you know this from your experience because you received gifts from him. And some of you, I have good news for you, are in the position where you'll see how attractive some of these gifts are and would be pleased to know that you can receive gifts at this time of year, particularly from the man Christ. I'll talk about a couple of them tonight in the time we have together. The first gift I want to talk about, a gift of the man Christ Jesus, is the gift of peace. And peace, according to the New Testament writings, is a powerful thing. And so it becomes a wonderful gift. It's a multi-layered thing. It's like a Russian doll or a babushka, if that's how to pronounce the name for an old woman in Russian. If so, I'm well on my way to learning a foreign language. If not, I haven't started yet. But the gift called a Russian doll, as you know, is multi-layered as well. And there it is, here's one in all its beauty. But when open, you'll find a replica or a model of the same thing, and you can take it apart, and there's another one and another one. The gift of peace is like that. Most noticeably, that is on the surface, the gift that Christ gives that we call peace is peace towards one another, peace towards the people who we have in our lives. And you tell me if you think that would be a good gift to have this evening and tomorrow and Boxing Day and a time when we are together with people perhaps who we have known for a long time and perhaps aren't actually at peace with just now. Well, Christ has this gift by which he can empower us to be at peace with the people in our lives. But that's on the surface. That's the most noticeable form of the gift of peace. And when you look below the surface and then open it up, you'll see another layer of the same gift. There's something wrong with this babushka. Babushka is the Russian word for old woman, and this old woman is hollow. But the gift of peace is not hollow. And just below the surface of the peace that we show towards people in our lives is the gift God gives, the gift that Christ gives, peace in regard to our circumstances. And you may well know that some of the difficulty you may have with being at peace with some people, even some people that you will be spending Christmas Day with, has to do with the circumstances of life. But Christ gives this gift, enabling us to be at peace with our circumstances. It has to do with what we can come to believe about the purposes of God and the fact that all that takes place in our lives, even the hard parts of our lives, even the hard details of our lives, are loaded up with the purposes of a good and loving God. By this knowledge, by this faith, we can be at peace with our circumstances, and that is what's just below the surface of the gift by which we can be at peace with one another. But you could open up that gift of peace as well and see that the basis or the center, the heart of our ability to be at peace with our circumstances based on our knowledge of the loving purposes of God is peace with God himself. And if we find our way into a relationship with God, which we can do through faith in Christ, it sets us up so armed with a confidence in God and so clear on the fact that he has accepted us on the basis of what Christ has done for us by living and then by dying and then being raised from the dead. If we are at peace with God, we are strengthened to be at peace with our circumstances and to be actively engaged in seeking peace with the people in our lives. And this peace is a powerful gift. Paul the Apostle, who knew something about the need to be at peace, especially with his circumstances, but also with people in his life, talked about this peace surpassing comprehension and this peace guarding our hearts and our minds. This is the gift that Christ can give and will give to all of us who ask for it to be used for the purposes for which he's given it. It's related to another gift, which I'm glad to make known to you as well. This is another gift that Christ gives. It's the gift of joy. Both peace and joy were announced at the birth of Christ, right? A multitude of the heavenly host were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace." But before the multitude showed up and began to speak of peace, the angel of the Lord appeared as an individual to the same shepherds and said, "I bring you great news, good news of a great joy." And there is joy in knowing what God was doing in sending Christ into the world. And that same sort of joy is offered to all of us who turn to Christ for it. And it's powerful as well. Back in the Old Testament, it was discovered by people whose lives are recorded there just how strengthening being joyful with the joy of the Lord can be. Someone who had been given a big project by God, written up in the Old Testament, Nehemiah, said to the people who he was leading into a big project, he said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And that strength is available to all of us who look to Jesus and ask Jesus for it. The joy of the Lord can be our strength as we depend upon him, as we look to him. And it becomes a very clear evidence that a person is in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul is a great example of a person who'd received that gift. He himself suffered a lot for being a follower of Christ. He was part of that first generation of Christians who stopped saying, "Caesar is Lord," as they began instead to say, "Jesus is Lord." And at one point when he was in prison and waiting to be executed for his illegal faith in Jesus as Lord, he wrote a letter to another group of people. It's recorded as one of the books of the New Testament. He wrote this letter to encourage them who were also being persecuted to rejoice in the Lord. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice." And just a few sentences later in the same part of the New Testament, in that same letter, the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In the context, he meant, I can do all the things I'm called to do, all the things that are demanded of me. as the Lord is my joy, as the Lord gives me joy. So what I'm thinking, as we are here at Christmas Eve, and we'll go somewhere else in just a few moments' time, and as we have Christmas Day ahead of us, perhaps a challenging time in regard to some people that we will be spending time with, perhaps a difficult time in regard to the circumstances which make us sad to be going into Christmas this year, you know the details of your own experience. I'm thinking that it's a wonderful, wonderful thing at this time of year in which gifts are given and received to commemorate or to celebrate the birth of Christ, to know that Christ, the man, seated at the right hand of God and fully God himself, is ready to give us his gifts, including peace, peace by which we can be at rest in our circumstances, accepting our circumstances and working out our difficulties, strengthened by his peace, and all the while experiencing a deep-rooted spiritual joy. And the joy of the Lord can be our strength. So this is my wish for you, and in fact my prayer for you, that our time together with the reading of the Christmas story and the singing of some familiar old carols will reinforce in your mind or get you started thinking maybe for the first time in a long while about the fact that whatever challenges you have, and for that matter, whatever good things you're looking forward to tonight and tomorrow as you celebrate the birth of Christ with loved ones or in whatever circumstances you're in, to think about the fact that there's peace available at all times from the man Christ Jesus who gives good gifts to his people. And there is joy by which we can be strong, by which we can help other people to be strong. These are the gifts of Christ Jesus, better even than the gifts of the Magi.